How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. Tomorrow's opening day. We're freaking excited. Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, we're going to see those guys bat back-to-back. We'll figure out who's leading off tomorrow as well. Lots of questions to be answered, but we're excited against the Houston Astros arrival. I would love to start off the season with a beautiful, gorgeous, delicious win. And Nestor Cortez will be on the mound. It'll be a tough matchup, but nonetheless, we have more than enough faith in our offense to get the job done against Framber Valdez. But today, we want to talk about Jason Dominguez and his growth, his rehabilitation, and some really interesting things he had to say about playing with Juan Soto in the future and how excited he is if he manages to stay around long-term on an extension. Obviously, we don't know if the Yankees will extend him on this big deal, but it seems to me they've been pretty cautious spending money over that $300 million luxury tax threshold this offseason with the anticipation they want to save as much cash and capital as possible to sign him to a long-term deal. Who knows? Maybe they do a similar thing like Ohtani. They defer a lot of money, open up even more, and then they go out and try to get a nice starting pitcher. You know, Corbin Burns will be available next offseason. I know we really liked Zach Wheeler, but he signed an extension with Philadelphia. And now the Yankees will have an opportunity to go and find themselves a starter if they divert some money. We'll see how they operate. But Dominguez is doing great. He's well on pace with his recovery. We're excited for him to return. We'll talk about what we think his role could be upon his eventual return in a couple of months here. Probably around June or July is what I anticipate him finally getting back into the fold. But always good to have reinforcements. And Ryan, before we dive into Dominguez, what do you have to say about Soto and his rehab process up to this point? How are you doing today, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing pretty good. I'm kind of cautiously excited about tomorrow because, you know, there's the wonder of the Major League season. But there's also all the nerves and like, oh my God, how are these guys going to look? What happens if they don't pitch well? Kind of the initial reactions. And, you know, I want to say this today. I'm probably going to say it tomorrow too. It's day one, right? Every single game counts. I'm not one of those people who thinks, oh, who cares if you lose in April? It doesn't matter. No, your April 1st loss or your March 28th loss counts the same as your October 1st loss in terms of your standings and stuff like that of that nature. It is imperative for the Yankees to get off to a good start. It would help them. It would hurt them if they did not get off to a good start. That is undeniable fact. But on top of that, you have to let larger sample size kind of iron out what happens, right? Like if the Yankees were 15-5 in their first 20 games, that doesn't mean they're going to win the World Series. We saw that 2022 team. They got off to an amazing start. I mean, it was even longer than that. And they went on to get swept in the ALCS. The 2021 team did not get off to a really good start. They still found a way to the playoffs, although it was beaten and battered and bruised. So, you know, I just kind of want to give everybody a little bit of just give it time. Let's see kind of how the season plays out. But as it pertains to Nestor Cortez, as it pertains to opening day, as it pertains to Jordan Montgomery, all that stuff. First off, Jordan Montgomery. The Yankees were not going to sign him unless they could really avoid that 110% tax. And that showed in the confirmation that they were looking for a deferred deal. The Yankees seemed to be interested in Monty. Jeff Passan said that the talks didn't really advance too much. And that makes sense. I don't think, you know, I think it came out that Monty didn't really want to come back. I thought money would be enough to convince him. And maybe there was a world where money was enough to convince him, but the Diamondbacks made an offer that came with more guaranteed money. If you're Montgomery, why are you going to take deferred money and take money at when inflation kicks in and that it's less value and stuff of that nature when you can just reset your market, hit the market again next year, and potentially earn yourself a payday? It is a risk because he could totally suck and get hurt, and then he doesn't make money, and that's a problem. But I think that's a risk he's willing to take given his stature in the league, given his consistency, and given his bill of health. What I do know is that this creates a much better free agent class next year where you have Snell, Montgomery, Burns at the top of the market. And so if the Yankees are looking to add free agent starting pitching, they absolutely can, although that's much later down the road. And focusing on tomorrow specifically, Nestor Cortez, I mean, this is his first opening day start. This is the first opening day start made by a guy drafted and signed by the organization since Andy Pettitte in 1998. This is the first time the Yankees aren't starting Gerrit Cole on opening day since 2019 when he wasn't on the team. It's a weird feeling, Alex. I mean, we're used to the same routine of Gerrit Cole starts an opening day. We kind of just go from there. It's different this time around. Nestor Cortez, you know, he's made some strides in terms of his pitch mix. I actually think he had a good spring training in terms of like the things I wanted to see, which were that the fastball movement's back, the cutter movement's back. He started incorporating a changeup a little bit more. That changeup got rocked, but I think he was just more so tinkering with it. Like, if you look at the pitches that got rocked, the cutter is unfortunately one of those pitches that got hit pretty hard, and that's not a great thing because his cutter is a pitch that regressed last year and I was concerned about. But the changeup got hit pretty hard. Everything just moved the way it should, at least, and that's really what I care about. I'm not going to get too worked up about spring training results. Like, I'm not going to declare, I know I said I think Clark Schmidt would be the best pitcher on the Yankees this year on the video I did yesterday, but that doesn't mean I think he's going to win the Cy Young because he has, like, a 2-something ERA in spring training. I don't think Marcus Stroman's going to win the Cy Young because of his ERA in spring training. And that's, you know, that's just, it is what it is. So, I think this is a huge start for Cortez. The starting rotation, you want to get off to a good, you want to get off to a good start. Because, Alex, I think we're all uneasy about the rotation to some extent, whether you're kind of uneasy, whether you're like, this team is not getting to the playoffs because of the rotation. There is some level of concern within all of us about the starting five. If every, you know, the first time through the rotation, we get some bad results, it's not going to be great. Like, if the first time through the rotation, they get battered, and look, we're not going to, you know, oh, they're facing the Astros. Oh, they're facing the Diamondbacks. Those are good lineups. You got to beat good teams to win the World Series, right? So, if you can't perform against the Astros, it is what it is. Like, I'm not saying that to say that if you have a one bad start, your season's over. More so to say that, you know, it's for the confidence. Like, let's get off to a good start pitching-wise. I don't know if that means a good start record-wise, but let's at least get off to a good start pitching-wise. Please, let's... For the Yankees, that's the number one thing right now. Just pitch decently in that first game.
Yeah, and it's definitely going to be paramount. Pitching is obviously what wins and loses games sometimes, and a lot of times, and the Yankees are going to have to step up, and Nestor Cortez getting the start wasn't anticipated. We wanted Gerrit Cole to be that guy, but, you know, next man up is how the Yankees kind of have to operate every single season because it always happens. But, you know, going back to Jason Dominguez for a second, I wanted to talk about some of the quotes he had in terms of speaking with Juan Soto, and he said, this is what Juan Soto said about Dominguez, both these guys from the Dominican Republic. So Soto said what he did in 8 games last year was impressive. He obviously saw him. He said he's a great kid. He's really positive with what he's doing and what he's been through. I think that's one of the biggest things. The mindset that he has is above and beyond. So we already love to hear Juan Soto talking about Jason Dominguez. And Dominguez said about him, I'm not going to lie, it goes through my mind. I have really, really good impression of Juan Soto, and he seems like a better person than a player as I've gotten to know him a little bit. Hopefully in the future, I'll be able to play with him in a game. He's a great dude. So, you know, clearly Juan Soto's making a positive impression. You know, we've heard some crazy stories from the Padres, you know, Machado and Soto and these guys battling, you know, kind of batting heads. And I kind of don't think that's Juan Soto's personality. I think he's a very confident 25-year-old superstar. And that is a good thing. The Yankees, and guys, like, think about all the best players the Yankees have ever had. Very confident young players. Alex Rodriguez, very confident young player. Derek Jeter, very confident young player. These guys, to be a great player, you have to have an ego. You know what I mean? You have to have, unless you're Messi and you barely speak, you have to have an ego. You know, Cristiano Ronaldo, ego. Like, Bryce Harper, ego. Like, these guys are superstars for a reason. You have to be very confident in yourself. Juan Soto, the guy just bleeds. He's freaking sweats the just confidence. And I think everybody on the team is going to feel that, you know, Marcus Stroman, he's not a superstar, but he certainly bleeds confidence. The guy is not short on that. And I think that does ultimately help everybody. And, you know, if you're an offensive player and you're batting a hitter behind Juan Soto, it's always nice to know, well, if I strike out, the guy behind me is getting on base. If I get on base, the guy behind me is hitting me in. You know, like that type of confidence. Think about the amount of stress that takes off of a young player. Like, let's give Anthony Volpe for a second. You know, you look at Anthony Volpe and you say, well, we want to put him at leadoff. We want to test him out there. Knowing that Juan Soto is behind him and that he doesn't have to do everything, I think Volpe took a lot of pressure, put a lot of pressure on himself last season because of how bad the offense was, and it ultimately didn't do him any good. I like the fact that there's a little bit less pressure on him now, and he looks a lot more confident. His swing is a lot prettier, a lot more efficient. But think about what happens when Jason Dominguez comes back and where he slots in. I think there's a world, by the way, Ryan, where, you know, I'm going to throw out something crazy right now. Do you think that there's a world where Jason Dominguez or Spencer Jones ends up leading off at some point in the future? Like, imagine Jones with like a 40% on base percentage with that type of power hitting ahead of Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, or even Dominguez doing the same thing as a switch hitter. Like, Dominguez hitting number one with his athletic profile, he can steal some bags. Is that something that sparks your interest? Something that you think, well, maybe that could be reality? And having that 1-2-3 of Dominguez, Judge, and then Soto, you know, that's something truly special. You don't come across groups like that very often. The Yankees have an opportunity to make that a reality. Do you think that that's something that you could see happening down the line?
So to touch on the first point, which is the confidence Dominguez has, when I did my top 30 prospects, I wrote about two paragraphs for each player, but Dominguez, I had to write him a third paragraph. And the thing I really wanted to talk about was his confidence in his makeup. It's off the charts, right? Like, people talk about, like, the makeup of a player as, like, you know, Anthony Volpe's a high IQ player, or, you know, we're talking about quarterbacks, right? Like, their makeup, how they, you know, react in a clubhouse, stuff of that nature, right? Or in a locker room. I think Jason Dominguez has every personality trait you want for a great player. A player who believes in himself is a player who will succeed. I want almost borderline arrogance for my players. I want a player who thinks he's that damn good. I don't want my player to think to himself, yeah, you know, I'm good. I'm all right. You know, like, that's no. When it comes to working hard, obviously you don't want to tell yourself you're the best and that you don't need to work hard. But when you're able to still work hard as if you're nothing in this league, but you carry yourself with a demeanor that you are the best player in the world, or you're the best player on the field, that is exactly what you want. And then when you're talking about the leadoff spot, I don't think Jones necessarily profiles for it, but Dominguez certainly does. I mean, Jason Dominguez has an advanced approach, and you kind of start dreaming about what Jason Dominguez and Juan Soto could do. And we're talking about long-term plans. Juan Soto absolutely is in the Yankees' long-term plans. They will do anything and everything to bring him back because he is a player you cannot replace. And you kind of dream about a world where, what if Dominguez, his plate skills, it translates to him being a top-of-the-order hitter? I mean, I might float this out here. You've got Dominguez, Soto, Judge. I mean, if those three guys are clicking the way they're clicking, Alex, come on. You got Spencer Jones hitting fourth. I mean, come on, right? Like, the upside there is you have, you know, let's say it's 3 years from now. 3 years from now, Jones, Dominguez are hitting the way that their hype suggested they could. And they're great players. It took them a little bit of time because it takes everybody a little bit of time. You have a 28-year-old Juan Soto. Yeah, 35-year-old Aaron Judge, probably DHing at that point. 28-year-old Juan Soto, 35-year-old Aaron Judge, again, probably in his DH years, and can focus all on just crushing the baseball. And you've got a 24-year-old, 25-year-old Jason Dominguez, and a, like, 26-year-old Spencer Jones. That's a young nucleus. That's a young core. Those are guys that have probably been in the league for 2 or 3 years at this point. That's a special team. That's a special top of the order. And, I mean, I think Jason Dominguez is just one of the most talented players I've seen in the Yankee organization in a very long time. I think that the prospect hype around him was a little bit much when they started comparing him to Mike Trout. But I think the problem is that since that comparison ever became a thing and everyone goes, it's the Yankees, he's overhyped, he's a bum, he's this, he's that, he's not that good. Every time that someone has bet against Jason Dominguez, they have been wrong. Dead wrong. Absolutely wrong. I remember last year, I was sitting here saying, yeah, we're not going to see Jason Dominguez this year. And guess what he did? He came up and he crushed. You know what I mean? Everyone's like, oh, yeah, he's an overrated bust after 2021 because he didn't have that great of a minor league year. And then he went up three levels, not one, not two. He went up from single A to double A. That's just unbelievable. So this guy has done nothing but overachieve and beat expectations. This is a guy who just turned 21. He just started being able to legally drink alcohol. And he would be a consistent major league starter on this team if he didn't tear his UCL. He had an unbelievable stretch. He has an unbelievable feel for the strike zone. The plate discipline is remarkable. The guy swings a lot in zone and lays off of pitches out of the zone. The guy can steal 40 bases. He's got great game power. He's got great raw power. He cut his strikeout rate down by like 10%. Are you kidding me? Every time he's had a flaw as a player, every skill that he has lacked in like his 18 or 17-year-old seasons, he's completely turned them around like that. You look at the arm strength. I know he's not probably a center fielder. He whipped out a throw at over 93 miles an hour on his right. He was throwing with his right arm. That's his throwing arm, and that's the arm he tore his UCL in. That was a day before we found out his UCL was torn. Alex, his UCL had been torn at that point. He threw a ball at 93 miles an hour with a torn UCL. Like, the talent is just stupid. This is a stupidly talented player, a switch hitter, a guy who's he knows he's great. And I know a guy who knows he's great works like he wants to be great, becomes great. You rarely see a talented person that has a great work ethic and unbelievable levels, almost unshakable levels of confidence. Alex, they had him hitting in the middle of the lineup. They had him hitting, what, third on open in his first game? Justin Verlander, Houston. First swing of his life at the major league level. Opposite field home run. The third game of that series, Yankees are, you know, I think they're either down or tied in the game. Go ahead blast, Christian Javier, put the Yankees ahead. If Jason Dominguez stayed healthy, I mean, the Yankees probably pick up another win or two. The Yankees would have been, like, just missing the wild card just because of Jason Dominguez. He had that kind of impact on this team. When he comes back, Alex, he's going to force somebody out of a job. If you're Verdugo or Stanton, you got to be, you know, they're going to be playing with their pants on fire because Jason Dominguez is right there, and he will steal their jobs, and he will become a great player in this league. Book it.
Yeah, I mean, Dominguez is a special talent. That's no secret, and we're excited to see him. And Spencer Jones's growth and development during the spring training and showcasing what he can do is equally as exciting. This team has a couple of young players that, you know, if you've been following Fireside Yankees for a while, we've been on top of for a long time, talking about Spencer Jones, talking about, I mean, Dominguez has been great for a long time. That's not a secret, but not a lot of people knew about Jones this time last year, and we interviewed him, and I think we're going to see some special stuff from this farm system coming up. And the deniers, the Yankee farm system deniers are in shambles right now because they're watching some of these guys come out of nowhere and put together performances that, you know, teams are begging the Yankees to trade them Spencer Jones. And they're like, yeah, this guy has the potential to be one of the best players in the league. We're not moving this guy.
Yeah, I want to throw in one thing, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
Everyone over the offseason said the Yankees didn't have a good enough farm to trade for Juan Soto. And they traded for Juan Soto. Everybody said, oh yeah, the Red Sox, they got such a better future than the Yankees. Baseball America, ESPN, Baseball Prospectus, all ranked them above the Red Sox. The only team in the division that has been ranked ahead of them in prospect list in their division is the Orioles, and they sucked for 5 years to do that. So I'm not saying the Yankees, you know, you got to absolve them of criticism, because trust me, Alex and I will have a lot of things to say, whether it's about third base or the starting pitching rotation, whatever it is, that there are criticisms to be had with this team. But there are so many people who talk out of their butt about this roster, who talk out of their butt about a lot of the young players on their team. They don't know this farm system. They don't know these guys. And I love that the spring breakout game happened because, Alex, we outclassed the Blue Jays prospects. It wasn't close. It looked like a major league team playing a minor league team. It looked like the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Georgia Bulldogs. It didn't look like the two teams. They didn't belong on the same field, Alex. They didn't belong on the same field. They didn't. They just straight up didn't. They just crushed them. Beat the crap out of them. No Jason Dominguez. No Chase Hampton. No Will Warren. So your best prospect, your two best pitching prospects, weren't even in the game. Domination. They threw a 19-year-old shoved. Brock Selvidge, 21, shoves. I mean, come on. Like, this farm system it's that good. Now, major league level, TBD. But prospect, farm system, it's that good.
It really is that good, and we're excited to see him put it to the test in a couple of weeks here, and even tomorrow we'll see some of these young guys. Like, I mean, Volpe going into his second season, Austin Wells we're excited about, so we're definitely going to get a good look. Luis Gil, obviously, returning. He's not really a prospect, let's say, anymore, but we haven't seen him since, like, 2022 or even before then, so it's been a minute, but we're excited about the farm system. Jason Dominguez making good progress, and that dynamic duo of Dominguez and Soto could be something truly special in the future. But as always, my friends, make sure to like and subscribe, drop your comments down below, and we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode.